Man, she liked that song. Amen. So Hebrews 13 tonight. Hebrews 13. I will be honest with you. I'm a little sad. This is the last message in Hebrews. Maybe, as far as I know, I really don't keep track of how long series go and when they start. But I think it's have to have been at least a year we've been in Hebrews. I'm kind of sad because it's really been a blessing, but
amen.
We'll just start over next Wednesday. No. I won't repreach the same. Let's stand together. Let me read beginning in verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Let me still mention to you, we have the fellowship tonight after church, but we'll, the choir needs to go through the song one time, okay? One time. And then we'll go straight back to the fellowship hall and do that. Just get the choir singing because you do have a special to sing this Sunday, okay? All right. Verse 20, Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, amen, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. And then he keeps going. He's a preacher, y'all. Okay. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. And then he says, amen. 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 All right. Let's have a word of prayer here tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Bless this time together around your word. I pray you'd help me to be an encouragement. Lord, this book has been a tremendous help and strength to us individually and as a church. And thank you for this the book of Hebrews. Lord, I pray you'd help us as we close it out tonight to do you honor and justice, Lord, according to what you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, we've been through, this is just chapter 13, Christian love and comforting strangers and compassion, clean and pure living, contentment, confidence. I could go back and re-preach all of these and we'd still learn something, wouldn't we? Commitment, consistency, consecration, which took a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, continual praise. We said communication, which basically means communion in this case. And last week, I don't think I gave you the title. It was careful submission. But this week is simply going to be the conclusion, okay? Every good thesis, right? Every good thesis, it has a conclusion. It has to have a conclusion, and it sum up basically what the paper or the letter has already said, and that's what I'm going to try to do tonight. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is doing here in these last few verses of Hebrews. Now, in verse 22, notice it says, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. Now, can you imagine? 13 chapters, few words. Don't forget now, they didn't have laptops.
Right.
Amen. They didn't have tablets and computers. This was all literally written by hand. It says, I have written a letter unto you in few words. In other words, we don't know who the human author is. Some people think it's Paul. I tend to think it's Paul. Other people think it may have been Luke. Some people even think it's Timothy. But I don't know how it could be Timothy based on verse 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. If that was Timothy writing that, why would he be saying that like that? So I don't know. I think you can throw Timothy out. But we don't know. The Bible never tells us who the human author is. But whoever it is, he had a lot to say.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He had a lot to say. And he says here in verse 23, verse 22, he says, I haven't written everything I really wanted to write to you. And so look what he says here. Suffer the word in verse 22. Suffer the word of exhortation. He's asking the people, in other words, don't get upset with the strong exhortations that I've written to you. Let them help you. Let the words that I've written to you help you. That's what he's saying. Now, remember, the theme of the whole book, really, and we've been talking about it for a long time now, is what? Jesus is better, right? Jesus is better. And no matter, so listen now, he's telling these Jewish people, he's saying, don't let what I've written to you, even though it's, relatively speaking, it's a few words compared to, you know, to what he really wanted to write. He says, don't let it bother you. Don't let it insult you what I've written to you. Let it be written. Listen to it, is what he's saying. Listen to what I've written to you. And again, he's basically concluding the whole epistle here. He said, remember, because he said Jesus is better. The idea here is no matter what anyone else says or thinks. And you understand something, as Jews, they were very closely related to each other. They were all in 12 tribes. They were all part of the same family, right? All go back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so they were very closely related. Some got saved, and some didn't. Remember, Jesus said, "I'm going to bring a sword." Said the families are going to be divided right down the middle, and that's what was happening here in the Hebrew families. That some were getting saved and knowing that Jesus was the answer. Some were saying, "No, no, no. The law of Moses is the answer." And he said, "I want you to understand. You've got to let the words of exhortation." He's told them Jesus is better than the prophets. You understand, folks, these Jews, they lived by those prophets. That's all they read those prophets in the synagogues, read those prophets in the temple, and the Pharisees would teach the what the prophets said. And now here comes this Hebrews epistle to the Hebrews, and he said Jesus is better than the prophets. And that was going to upset some people, right? He's telling them Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than the devil, obviously, the wilderness. Remember he said the message on Jesus is better than Melchizedek? Man. Melchizedek was a tremendous type of Jesus, but they didn't understand that. They just thought he was a great man. And so these kind of things, he said, I want you to understand something. You've got to not let these words of exhortation offend you or insult you. Jesus is better than the priests. Amen. And you tell a Jew that, man. Come on, that's crazy. Jesus is better than that old covenant of the law. Jesus is better than Moses. You understand now why he's saying this? He said, I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. Because now, they've got to the end of the letter. They didn't preach through it in a year like you did, like we did. They just read it, and when they got to the end, they had a whole lot to kind of absorb, right? And now he's saying, suffer this, these words of exhortation. Don't turn them away. And he said, meditate on them. Think about them. Go back and read them again. Don't let them upset you, because Jesus is better. Amen. Hey, remember, we spent about 6 or 7 weeks on Jesus is better than the tabernacle. And folks, that's major stuff to tell a Jew. Jesus is better than the tabernacle. Amen. He told him Jesus guarantees a better resurrection. Jesus guarantees a better hope. Jesus is a better covenant. Jesus is his blood is better than those bulls and goats. Remember, his promise is better than any priest or any Pharisee or Sadducee or scribe can ever make you. It's a better perspective when you see Jesus in the light of the cross of Calvary and the resurrected tomb. Amen. Jesus will help you run a better race. And remember, run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. And see, they weren't looking unto Jesus. They were looking unto Moses and the law and the prophets and etc. So he said, listen, I want you to understand, don't forget, Jesus will help you have a better race. Jesus is the Calvary is a better mountain. Remember that one? Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary. Well, there's some good preaching in here, man. Let's start over next week. Anyway, and he said, listen, Jesus will help you have a better church. Amen. Absolutely. So in short, he spent this whole epistle trying to convince them Jesus is better than anything they've ever had or anything they ever could have. And that's what my heart has been trying to do. God's been trying to do to me and then to convey it to you. The reason he says here, to suffer the word of exhortation, again, they would have been insulted. They were Jews and these things were sacred to them. Now, immediately though, preceding verse 22, right before verse 22, is verse 20 and 21. And so, Paul, every time, right? Every time. But what verse 20 and 21 include is what I'm trying to get to. What is in the content of verses 20 and 21 is what leads up to verse 22. Because basically, in essence, like I said earlier, the conclusion is almost summed up in two verses here, 20 and 21. We find him reiterating the fact Jesus is better one last time. See, he wants him to leave this epistle remembering one thing: Jesus is better. I want you to leave this service tonight, as we leave this book of Hebrews, I want you to always remember the book of Hebrews, and I don't think you're going to forget it, amen, is the fact, the point, the subject, the theme is Jesus is so much better than anything this world could ever offer. Now, this is a very wise strategy when dealing with people. Psychology, that's why I think maybe this was the Apostle Paul. I don't have time to just go on and on, but have you ever read the book of Philemon? I hope you have, amen. It's in the Bible. Yeah. But the book of Philemon is just one little chapter. It's not very long, but it's a very persuasive little book where Paul is trying to convince Philemon to accept his brother's name, but to accept him back. He was a slave, and then he had stolen from Philemon, and then he got saved, and Paul said, I want you to have, what was his brother's name again? Onesimus, thank you. Onesimus, he said, I want you to accept Onesimus back into your family, into your home, as because of me. Because he's saved now, and remember, you owe me anyway. So there's a whole lot of, I don't want to call it psychology, but just reasoning there. And I believe what's going on in these two verses is the Apostle Paul, whoever wrote this letter, is reasoning one final time, amen, with these people, reminding them how good God is. I think that's a good thing for us to remember, is that when we deal with anybody, when we have any time conversation with people, I talked to two men, young men from UNT, amen, not in your department, but Brother Evan, but last night as I was out soul winning. And I reasoned with them for a little while, amen, about God's goodness and God's mercy and God's grace and God's salvation and God's and the cross of Calvary. Now, they didn't get saved, but it was amazing. That's how we want to leave people when they don't get saved, or if they are saved. We want to have a communication with them, and we want to focus on God's goodness.
Yes,
and we want to start the conversation with God's goodness. Amen. We want to, somewhere in the middle of that conversation, remind them, hey, God's a very good God. And then we want to leave them with one thought. Hey, God's grace, amen, is everlasting. God's mercy is true. And his judgments are right. And amen, every single day. And just reminding people, it's never too much, amen, for us to spend time reminding people how good God is.
Amen.
That's what I want to do tonight. And I think that's what this letter is closing. He closes this letter with four things, quickly, that are mentioned in these two short verses that reemphasize how good God is and how much better Jesus is than anything in this world. Number one is the amazing peace. The amazing peace. Look at verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, the amazing, isn't it interesting to you? He goes right to the end of this letter. He says, the God of peace. Now, the reason that God can be a God of peace now, listen, is because of Jesus. Think about it now. Before you got saved, God was not a God of peace to you. When you thought about God, you got scared, if you believed in God. You got a little bit convicted, or at least a guilty conscience, maybe. You didn't like to think about God before you got saved. Why? Because you knew you were guilty. Because you knew you were little and he was big. Amen. You didn't like to think about God because you knew one day, listen, judgment is coming. Now, we don't have to know the Bible to know that. We have to know that we're sinners, and God put that in us, in our hearts, as a conscience, amen. And we know that there's a creator behind the creation.
Yes.
Only a fool says in his heart there's no God.
Right?
Only a fool says that. We knew before we got saved, we knew, hey, there's a creation out here. This didn't just happen. There's a creator behind every creation. And so God made us see how awesome and humongous and powerful and almighty he was just by looking at the trees and the clouds and hearing the thunder and seeing the lightning and feeling the wind and blow and the rain and the storms. We knew God was a big God, and he was, but it wasn't peace.
Right.
Until we met Jesus.
Amen.
Until we met Jesus. And then look what he's saying. He says, now the God of peace. Now, I don't have time to take you back to Hebrews. Well, maybe I do. No, I don't. We've got other things to do. But Hebrews chapter, if you remember, chapter 12 talked about the chastening.
Uh-huh.
Talked about how if you don't, you got to serve God with reverential fear. Amen? Because God is a consuming fire.
Right.
Speaking to Christians.
Right.
Now, but then he wants us to leave this book remembering how good God is, and God cannot be a God of peace to a lost sinner. God cannot be a God of peace to someone who's trusting in their religion. God cannot be a God of peace to someone who's trusting in their self-righteous ways. God cannot be a God of peace, amen, even to the atheist. The reason they say they don't believe in him is because he makes them nervous. They don't want to submit to his authority because they know he's much higher than they are.
Yeah.
So they lie and say, I don't believe in God. I'm atheist. And that's their little escape route, but yet they can't ever escape it.
Yeah.
Hold your place here. Look in Romans 16. Romans 16, real quick. God is not a God of peace except for Jesus. Amen. Romans 16, verse 20. This is an interesting verse. Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I love that verse because it doesn't sound like a God of peace, amen. But see, look, he's bruising Satan. Our Lord is angry at the wicked, the Bible says, every day. You understand? But to you and me, look, he's a God of peace. See, he's not a God of peace when it comes to those who are on Satan's side. He's not a God of peace when it comes to those who are following Satan and living for the devil. He's not a God of peace, amen, to those people. They are on the wrong side of this verse. But you and me, look, the end of that verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. Why is he a God of peace to you and me? Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We don't have to worry about that bruising of Satan. Because I'm not in Satan's camp anymore, glory to God. He is now my God. He's the God of peace, amen. He's my Father. I am on his team. I'm in his family. And it's all because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no peace, amen, not to the wicked. But the God of peace to you and me, because Jesus is so much better. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I tell you what, that blessed my heart. All of this blessed my heart. I love the way that God has opened this book up to me, amen. And this last message even, it's just been a tremendous blessing. Jesus is better now, because now we know God as a God of peace. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't peaceful.
Right.
Amen. But when he rose out of that tomb, amen, then there was peace. Because the day I trusted him, amen, he gave me the same everlasting life that Jesus now has and forever will have. I am in him and he is in me.
Amen.
The amazing peace. It is amazing, folks, because there's no way to ever even scratch the surface of that peace outside of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Go back to Hebrews now. Four things that are mentioned here in these two short verses. And the writer is trying to, God's Holy Spirit really, is trying to reemphasize one last time how much better Jesus is. Number one, Jesus makes us see God, understand he's a God of peace now. I don't have to worry. I can come to him boldly to the throne of grace, amen, without any fear. But there's also the second thing in verse 20, verse now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. There's everlasting power. Look at that. Now, what did he do? He brought again from the dead. Now, understand something. That's a power that only God has. That's a power that only God will ever have. Amen. That's a power that God has always had. Amen. Nobody else, no other power, nothing in this world could ever compare to the everlasting power of my God. And that power was demonstrated. That power was proven and manifested on the morning, amen, that early Sunday morning, Saturday night, amen, as the day turned into Sunday, when Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, hallelujah, he came out of that grave, and God did that, and because God did that, I'm saved now.
Amen.
You understand, if it weren't for a resurrection, I'd be lost in my sins, and so would you. Our faith would be in vain. I'd have no reason to ever get excited about anything. I'd have no reason to even be here in church tonight. Why would we want to celebrate anything? Why would we want the choir to sing? What are they going to sing about, amen? Why would we have Vacation Bible School? What's there to talk about? Why would we celebrate the Garcia's 5-year anniversary? What's the big deal, amen? If he was still dead, we would be dead. Everlasting power. Jesus is better, folks. Because you understand, that's the power of his resurrection. Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus is better. He says, look over there in Revelation with me quickly. Revelation chapter 1. I'm hurrying, amen, I promise you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Look what Jesus says out of his own lips. He says, I am, amen. Now that's God right there, Jehovah. I am, I am, I am, I am. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That's a good start. Now look in verse 18. He says, I am. There it is again. Hey, you think he's trying to say something? I am he, amen. I am he that liveth. And notice, was dead.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And behold, he says, behold, look at me. Behold, he says, behold, look right here. Here's my hands. Here I am. Touch me. Like he told Philip. He said, Thomas, excuse me. I am alive. How long, church?
Evermore.
Forevermore. Then he amens his own preaching. I love that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, he's a good Baptist. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. He has overcome hell. He has overcome death. He has overcome the grave. He has overcome the devil. He has overcome all sin. He has overcome it for all time, for all men. Glory to God.
Amen.
That's everlasting power. See, this verse back there in Hebrews 13, it makes reference to that. Hebrews 13 says, amen, the God of peace that brought again from the dead. What's he trying to say? There's an everlasting power in that God. And that power was proven to you and me in the resurrection. Now look what it says in verse 20 again. From the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now, I don't have time to go into that, but he leads me, amen. Where he leads me, I will follow, amen. He is my shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. And then through the blood, notice, of the everlasting covenant. Everlasting power is the only reason we can have everlasting covenant. You understand, the covenant of the law of Moses was not everlasting.
That's right.
They had to continue to return to that sacrifice, to that altar, time and again and again and again. That high priest had to go into that holy of holies, the most holy place. Amen. The Bible never calls it the holy of holies. Amen. It's the most holy place or the holiest place. But the fact is, he had to go into there what, every single year,
yeah.
Not without blood. But now, listen, we have an everlasting covenant because of God's everlasting power, because of Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave his life for our sins once for all. Amen. He's so much better. The everlasting covenant is my everlasting life. Folks, get a hold of it right there. The everlasting covenant is a covenant that God has made, not based on my goodness, not based on my merit, not based on my intelligence or anything else for that matter. Praise God for that. Amen. That's a covenant that he made with me based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and shed for the atonement of my sins. Hallelujah. I'm talking about everlasting power that will keep me everlasting saved because of his everlasting covenant, and it's all because Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. You see now. Now, he's a little more concise than I am, but he's making a point here one last time. Guys, Jesus is better.
Amen.
Jesus is better. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6. Ephesians 1, verse 6. Oh, I'm having a good time. This is good stuff. To the praise, Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's good enough right there to shout. Hallelujah. Wherein He hath made us. Do you understand? That's a creation.
Amen.
Right.
Listen to me. That's the power only God has.
Right. Amen.
God is the only one that can make life. Create life. In the beginning, God what?
Created.
Hallelujah. Right. He's the only person, the only power that could ever create anything. Yeah. Man invents, I understand, but they can't create the things that they're inventing to use that stuff with. You understand what I mean by that? They can't create, they invent, but they can't create anything out of nothing like God.
Right.
God made you and me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Sure.
Amen. I'm created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Glory to God. Let's read on here. I can't even get past the first phrase. Amen. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We now belong. Amen. Are you listening to me? We now belong in the family. Amen. We now belong to the family of God. I'm so glad.
Amen.
I'm a part of the family of God. But I didn't make it on my own. He made me accepted. Amen. In the beloved. Look, how do you do that in verse 7? In whom we have redemption.
Amen.
Through His blood, glory to God. The forgiveness of sins. How many sins? That's all sins. Amen. Past, present, future. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches, unsearchable riches of the grace of God. Are you kidding me? This is amazing. This is Jesus, folks. We're in verse 8. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom.
Yeah.
And prudence. I'm going to leave off reading there, but boy, you just read through the book of Ephesians. It'll make you shout if you're alive, amen?
Amen.
If you're alive in Christ Jesus, that is. But the thing is, Jesus is so much better. That power right there, He made us accepted in the beloved. And the praise of the glory of His grace, I had nothing to do with that, amen? That's the. Listen, look what verse 7 says. We have redemption through His blood. I had no hope. I had no hope outside of that precious blood that was shed for my sinful soul. None of us did. But His power came. His power was shed and shed that blood on the cross. And now we have forgiveness of sins, redemption because of the riches of His grace. He made it all happen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And then, cherry on top. He raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God.
Amen.
Everlasting power demonstrated, amen, the everlasting covenant of blood. The only way I could have ever had any of that,
amen,
was because of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Right.
Go back to Hebrews 13. Listen, there's amazing peace because of Jesus.
Amen.
There's everlasting power available through you. Forgiveness of all. Listen, go ahead tonight. Go home. And write down everything you can remember that you've ever done that was sinful. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? And then wad it up, flush it down the toilet, because it's gone.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
You might have to call a plumber in the morning. Some of you, I'm just kidding. But it's all gone. It's all gone. Amen. That's the power that I'm talking about.
Amen.
Everlasting power, everlasting covenant, forgiveness of all sin. John R. Rice, I read somewhere that he used to do that every night. Boy, that was a godly man, a saintly man. Every night he would do that. He would write down a list of sins that he knew he committed that day. He knew. You don't even know some of the things you do.
That's right.
And he would pray over that and confess, because God says if we confess our sin. Now, this is not for salvation. This is for fellowship.
Right.
Communion with Christ. Closeness. He said that he would pray and confess those sins and wad them up and throw them in the trash. Every night. I don't know. That's something to think about. But thank God, when I confess Him, He's faithful and He's just, amen, to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. But for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
For Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Number three, quickly, Hebrews 13. I'm hurrying, I promise you. Verse 21 now, he goes on, he gets to verse 21. Now let's read 20 and 21 because they go together. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, is Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There's not two, there's only one, amen. Look what he says in verse 21. Make you, there's a make again. God creating something in you. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. I want to say this number three. This is the third thing that's mentioned here. Increasing perfection. Increasing perfection. Now, so preacher, what do you mean by that? The everlasting power of the God of peace that we've talked about is now working to make us more and more perfect every day.
Amen.
Now, let that sink in for a minute. The God that we just talked about for these last few minutes, yeah. The God of peace and power that's beyond our imagination, He's now working in us to make us, listen now, increasingly more and more like Christ. That's what we call progressive sanctification. But God, listen, is always working on us. Amen. Now, folks, think about that for a minute. Before you got saved, before Jesus, you got worse every day. You got worse every day. You said, well, no. I was evolving into a more intelligent being. You were getting more and more filthy every day. Darkness was getting more and more prevalent. Death was one day closer. Hell's fire was one day closer. Every day of your life, you were getting closer and closer to everlasting fire.
Yeah.
But then Jesus came along.
Amen.
And unbelievable. I mean, not only did he save us, amen, redeem us and forgive us and give us that everlasting life through His power. Now He's perfecting us. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Amen. He's making you a better Christian. He's helping you grow in grace and knowledge. He's increasing your wisdom and your understanding of His Word. Listen, God is working, always trying to make us better. Are you kidding me? I mean, that just blows my mind. Without Jesus, where would I be? I promise you, I wouldn't fit into that category.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, do you understand that God, when you take up and pick up this book, that God's Holy Spirit, because of Jesus that dwells in you, you're able to understand things now that you could never understand before. When the preacher preaches something that you used to scratch your head and say, what in the world is he talking about? Now that the Holy Spirit's there and God's helping you, and you say, oh yeah, it makes sense now. The light bulb. Jesus is the one that did that for us. Jesus made that possible.
Amen.
He's making us perfect. Now listen, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, you understand, but I'm talking about growing to where we sin less and less.
Amen.
Hello. The Holy Spirit of God's not in you to help you get used to sin, amen? He's in you to help you hate sin and grow you to a place where you not only get away from sin, but you don't even get close to temptation.
Amen.
Amen. Remember what Paul said, think on these things? Don't even think about things that are according to worldliness and wickedness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Right.
See, look what it says in verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. God is working in us, making us better and better, increasing our perfection more and more like Christ so that we can do His will. Folks, this may sound elementary to you, but don't let this get by. The perfect will of God for me is perfect for me.
Amen.
Like, the perfect will of God for you, Karina, is perfect for you. The perfect will of God, Brother Josh, is perfect for you. Miss Danya, Brother Chris, Brother Worcester, the perfect will of God, Evan, is perfect for you.
Amen.
I mean, it fits you like that glove. that you that you just don't want to take off. It fits you like a suit, amen, before you eat too much. It fits you. It's perfect for you. It does not fit me. It doesn't fit somebody else, but it's perfect for you. And listen, God is every day working in your heart, in your life, through the Spirit of God, through His Word, through the preaching, through prayer, through walking with Him and in fellowship. He's working to increase your perfection so you fit better in that perfect will that He has for you. That's incredible stuff, man. That's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
You couldn't do His will before you got saved.
Right.
We didn't even have a clue what that even meant.
Right.
But now God is taking, listen, think about the personal attention that God is taking in you, the time that He's spending on you.
Amen.
Now that doesn't seem like much maybe to you, but that's an amazing thought to me, that God has taken personal time with me through His Holy Spirit day after day, second after minute, every day, all day long. Now listen, sometimes I don't listen, I understand. I know you always do, but sometimes I don't listen. But that, but aren't you glad He doesn't stop? I mean, He's trying to make me perfect so I can fit into His perfect will for my life. And then from that day on, listen to me, if I follow Him and walk in faith, He will lead me like that good shepherd we just saw through that perfect will. And then all I got to do is trust Him. And one day I just get to go to heaven.
Amen.
I'm talking about a good God.
Amen.
I'm talking about a God who can only do these things because of Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, He has a perfect will for you. And you fit perfectly in that will.
Amen.
Before you got saved, you were trying to stick yourself in places that you didn't fit.
Right.
You were a square peg, or in my case, a round peg, trying to fit into a square hole. And it never worked. You were frustrated, right? You're aggravated.
Yep.
You go to bed at night. I asked somebody yesterday, I said, you ever go to bed at night wonder why you're here? And he said, well, who hasn't? I said, exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
Because I don't go to bed like that anymore.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm saying, I don't go to bed like that anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Usually I'm too tired to go. I just, amen. I'm not worried about why I'm here. I'm just thankful that I get a few hours to sleep.
Amen.
But he was honest. He said, well, who hasn't? I said, exactly. That's because Jesus has come to give you purpose and direction and do His will. But without Christ, you have no hope. You're never going to have any satisfaction, no purpose, no direction, no guidance at all. But all because He's increasing every day, He's working in us to make us more and more like Jesus so we can do, listen, His perfect will. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And that's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
All because of Jesus. Boy, that's good stuff, man.
Amen.
Next it says there in same verse 21, it says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you. There it is again. Increase every, He's working in you right now.
Amen.
Right now. He works in you, I believe, while you're sleeping. Not as much because you're snoring, amen, you can't hear Him. But look, He's working in you right now. Look what it says, that in you that which is, notice, well-pleasing in His sight. He's working in you to do His pleasure, what pleases Him. He's working on His pleasure in you. Now, I know it's a perfect will, and that's good for you and me. But see, we gotta take this thing a step further. It's not just His perfect will for me; it pleases Him.
Right.
Let me try to make you understand it. I can please God.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Amen.
Now you probably think, well, that's no big deal. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Before Jesus.
Yeah.
You were the enemy of God.
Right. Amen.
Before Jesus, you couldn't, the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible.
Right.
The flesh can never be subject to the law of God. It never will be, never could be, never will. But in Christ Jesus now, I'm not only doing His perfect will, which is perfect for me, but it pleases Him.
Right.
But folks, think about this. I can look up to my Heavenly Father and I can pray for Him to help me do His will because it pleases Him.
Yes. Amen.
This is not profound, but this is deep, amen. This is the essence of all Christianity. This is what makes Jesus so much different than anything else in this world. Because all of these things that this epistle is closing out with, this conclusion here, all of these things are trying to encourage. I'm hoping you're getting encouraged and realizing, listen, it doesn't matter what happens in my life, because look what it says.
Amen.
It says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in whose sight?
Yeah.
His.
Yeah.
Broken heart. All of a sudden you think, God left me. God's against me. Not according to that verse.
Yeah, that's right.
Broken dreams. Frustrated dreams, life. Not turning out like, well, you know, I should have been here by now. I'm not there. Well, wait a minute. God ain't dead.
Right.
He's working in you.
Amen.
And it's whatever He's doing, listen now, it's pleasing in whose sight?
His.
Amen. How could, Brother Worcester's, all these health issues that you're struggling with be pleasing in His sight? Well, that's where we understand Jesus is better.
Amen.
Than going through all those health issues without Him.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Brother Benny's dad and all of that leukemia and all of that. Well, see, that sounds like a miserable, very troubling time. But wait a minute. He's working in you.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And your dad got saved. He's working in him.
Amen.
And it's well-pleasing in whose sight?
Yes.
I don't like this, Lord. Okay, well, forget. Wait a minute. It's well-pleasing in His sight.
Right.
Amen.
In His sight. Why? Because it's going to make you better.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He's increasing your... Remember, this all works... He's increasing your perfection. He's making you more and more like Christ. And it's because of Jesus that He can do this.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Finally, He's working according to His pleasure, increasing the perfection in us by His everlasting power and peace. And now, finally, He closes out with where everybody should be closed. Verse 21, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. There it is, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. To whom, He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. See, He says, whatever you hear or learn or get out of this letter, this epistle about Jesus, get this. There should never be a day that you don't praise Him.
Amen.
Never ending praise. That's what the Bible says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, we understand heaven's going to be like that, folks. But He's not writing this to people in heaven. Amen. He's writing this to people on the earth who are saved.
That's
with Christ,
right.
In them. See, we are reminded here that Jesus deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for all eternity. And we dare not wait till we get to heaven to start that. Amen. We need to praise Him. He alone has made all of this possible.
Amen.
He alone has made it possible for me to have anything worthwhile, for me to have this peace, this power, this increasing perfection according to His pleasure. Because of Jesus, we can understand now what it means to be saved. Because of Jesus, we can understand now what it means to have these things and God working and indwelling in our spirit, in our heart. Jesus, dearly beloved, is oh so much better.
Amen.
And we should praise Him more.
Amen.
And listen, I know sometimes we're not in the mood to praise Him. I understand that. We're human. I'm not any different than you are. But because of Jesus,
amen,
we just need to stop. And go back maybe to a little bit of Hebrews once in a while.
Amen.
Even these two verses pretty much sums up the whole book.
Amen.
Go back to these two verses and remember, hey, Lord Jesus, great shepherd, blood of the covenant, perfect, pleasure, praise. I mean, look at that power, peace. Yeah. It's all right there. Our church,
amen,
our hearts,
yeah,
would be so much better.
Yeah.
If we just got those two verses.
Amen.
But it pretty much sums up the whole letter, doesn't it? God and His goodness and His grace, and only through Jesus Christ
Amen.
Do I have anything. I have nothing, amen. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
And it's all because of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Father in heaven, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord. We do give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Lord, we fall woefully short day after day of remembering all that Jesus means to us, all that it means, Lord God, in our hearts, our lives, to know that we're saved, everlasting life. Oh, there's so much in here, Lord. We praise you for the power of this book and your Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord, because of Jesus, our life.